Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light.
Guess we don't have any audio the other way, huh?
Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic
paradigm. I can hear you, Dennis, but you
so
can't
welcome
hear
all,
me.
Both terrestrial beings and galactic beings
well,
as
well. Well, I can
one.
Hear you now.
So
good.
Because
I'm listening on the phone, but to the Zoom meeting screen, I have no audio there from you. My audio shows good.
Thank you for listening
Dennis
to Revolution Radio
FreedomSlips.com.
Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program.
So what's my
Revolution Radio,
like
where information
direction?
Never
clear
slips.
I have an echo on my ear. I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger. Is there a way you can kill the echo? Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm doing my best to have Dennis Camino back on the show. We're trying to figure out the audio connection because the normal isn't working. Dennis, can you hear me? Yeah, you're loud and clear, but before I was getting an echo, which I thought was kind of weird, but now it's gone. So I just don't know how you can hear me because I... Obviously, I'm not hearing the echo anymore, so you probably have normal audio from my end, right?
Yes, yes, Dennis, and I can hear you. Now I'm hearing what sounds like wind in the background.
All right, let me see if I can kill my fan here.
Yes.
That's probably got rid of
it. Yeah, good, Dennis. Good. What a miracle.
Well, yeah, it's a coincidence, you know.
It's a coincidence. Yeah, well, there's so much
spelled,
going on, Dennis.
Spelled C-O-H-E-N hyphen C-I-D-E-N-C-E. That's the kind of coincidence it is.
Yeah. No, I get it. Listen. We have a report. Let me share it with you on the video that the Nord Stream might have been duped. Now, this is from Global Research. That's a pretty good... source. The saga of the Nord Stream blow-up has been confusing and confused with multiple reporting on who did it and who did not. We know that it was the U.S. Who had an interest, the motives, who was most suffering from the blast. It seems the saga never ends. This, of course, was a crime of tremendous proportions. Seymour Hersh released a report based on secret but highly reliable sources, details of how U.S. intel planned the sabotage ordered by Joe Biden, confirmed at the press conference on 7 February of 2022. Biden said, if Russia invades, that means tanks and troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will no longer be a Nord Stream 2 reporter. But how will you exactly do that since the project is in Germany's control? Biden said, I promise you, we will be able to do that. Hersh revealed how the U.S. Navy carried out the bombing with the cooperation of Norwegian forces. After the report was published, Washington, of course, the White House, quickly denied it. About a month ago, bombshell news. Evidence for the how emerged, according to mathematician, physicist, and geoscientist Professor Hans Benjamin Braun, the pipeline were devastated by an underwater tactical nuclear device. This was reported by Swiss journalist Christopher Pfluger during his weekly Swiss Transition TV, or TTV, news show. A screenshot of the abstract is here. Those who are viewing the video of the show will be able to see it. Following initial accounts, moderate explosives of a few hundred kilograms of TNT were responsible for the destruction, which would correspond to a seismic reaction of magnitude Richter of 2.3. However, after a review of seismic data available throughout Northern Europe, this could not be further from the truth. We're talking about an explosive power at least 400 times larger than claimed. Seismic traces were reported as far as the Nord Cap, 1,800 kilometers from the detonation in Greenland, thus characterizing the Nord Stream explosion as a teleseismic event. An analysis of waveform detected at seismic station around the Baltic and both in the sea characterize the event as having a detonation energy of 200 tons of TNT equivalent or more, rather than the 500 kilogram claimed in the press, Braun said. The result waveforms share characteristic with known underground nuclear explosions. Braun concluded only a nuclear explosion could produce these effects, which include the extreme warming of the seabed, strong underwater currents, and radioactive fallout could be measured even in Switzerland. For the full report, it's in Germany. We have a link to it. After Braun finished his study, he handed it to several colleagues for peer review, including three Nobels in physics. In April of 2023, the final report was handed to the governments concerned, including Sweden, Finland, Poland, and NATO's Secretary General, Russia's ambassador in Switzerland in the UN Security Council, at that time chaired by Russia. So what happened? Silence. None of the countries concerned, not even Russia, and of course not NATO, seemed to have an interest to escalate the case, demonstrating to the world that Washington and NATO does not shy away from using nuclear devices to destroy energy supplies, fueling Russian and the German and European economies, and that we are already in a nuclear war. What about motives for the sabotage? Officially, the motives were nothing less than making sure that the sanctions on Russia over the Ukraine war would hold, could not be broken by Germany under pressure from Germany's business and manufacturing community. Germany's economy was going to suffer tremendously without cheap Russian gas. Unofficially, there's a secret plan by the corporate financial cabal, a plan wholly integrated into UN Agenda 2030 and the WEF's Great Reset, to bring the Western economies, particularly those in Europe and the U.S., down, possibly to full-blown ruin. Instrument number one is depriving them of energy. This goes hand-in-hand with the cabal's depopulation agenda. Achieving these targets would make it easier to initiate and implement a new world order based on full digitalization and artificial intelligence. Surviving humans would become electronically manipulable transhumans, which could be turned on and off, so to speak, as needs dictate. The entire UN system is sold to the unnamed corporate financial behemoth. UN Agenda 2030 is not just comprising the 17 noble, sustainable development goals, but much further. To understand what it means, check it out. As to unnamed financial cabal, the number one financer and supporter of the World Economic Forum is BlackRock. The WEF is one of the main executing agencies of the Great Reset and Agenda 2030. The cabal is not there yet. And with humanity's strength and spiritual power, these dark forces shall not reach their objective. That's wishful thinking, in my opinion. The cabal knows perfectly well the world's economies are fueled by hydrocarbon, and this will remain the main source of energy for the foreseeable future. The propaganda and humorous talk about climate change no end. when real science knows real climate change happens all the time, has happened for the last 4.5 billion years since Mother Earth came into existence. Its main cause of influence is the sun. 97% plus has nothing to do with CO2 generated by man's activities and economy. The ever-ongoing natural process is slow, so nature and scent means may adjust. The brutal changes in weather and climate we're increasingly experiencing in the last decade are wantonly man-made, meaning they're part of environmental modification technologies called geoengineering. They include numerous highly sophisticated and scientifically studied technologies which are capable of modifying the composition of the higher atmosphere to bring about rapid weather, climate change, hot, cold, drought, flooding, and rapid succession. Can and does destroy vital food crops, fertile agrarian land, infrastructure, housing, and well-being. It causes famine, misery, and death in a bleak future. Geoengineering can be targeted on specific society, countries, or region of the world. There's much similarity with potential nuclear warfare. The chemicals and methods used in geoengineering, including satellite, are protected by hundreds of patents of which the public at large has no idea. And of course, mainstream media is generously paid to remain silent about it. In order to fight this massive crime on humanity, we the people must wake up and take matters under our, we the people's, control now. With every day we refuse to wake up, we move a step closer to the abyss of no return. We are seconds before midnight and must act now. Dennis, there's a lot there for you to cover. Your thoughts. Take your time.
It's a stretch to imagine that even as technologically as advanced as we think we are, that we could monkey around with atmospheric processes, and then when we remove the stimulus or the modification mechanism or method to alter the weather, that everything will go back to normal. Like when you release a spring, it oscillates and then finally stops moving, you know, but there's much more going on in the Earth's atmosphere that mankind doesn't really understand yet. So any alterations of natural processes comes with a price, perhaps, and that there may be a possibility that all the monkey business that these guys are pulling might not be reversible after all. And, you know, I mean, I understand a little bit about how they get rainfall to happen and cloud seeding and things like that, but a lot of people blame HAARP, which is a whole other matter. We can't even get into that on this show. We don't have time, but I think that you know, going back to the point that you're making about the WEF and BlackRock and these other Zionist organizations that want to own everything and control everybody, I mean, there's very little doubt in my mind that the lanch that cut the pipeline was...
Dennis, you faded, or... I think this is a regular pattern. When I have Dennis on, we have all kinds of interference with our communication that is not welcome here, but it's because they're doing their best to cut off such an expert on so many subjects that are related to understanding what's really going on here. Go ahead, Dennis.
The point I was making is that the monkey business with the weather modifications and you know, may not be reversible. You know, whatever they think they're doing, I don't think that the people that are modifying the weather really understand the overall ramifications of perhaps going too far to the point where things will not be reversible to go back to where they thought they could go.
Dennis, yes, this is a terribly important point, so I'm not surprised you're being interrupted again. Let's hope it doesn't continue through or persist throughout the entire show, but I would, on the other hand, not be surprised.
Making a point to kill the connection. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, I should watch my phone more to make sure I have a connection, but I'll just not do anything on my end, like try and call in because that'll exacerbate things. But what I was saying is that the morons that are modifying the weather systems, and I have no doubt that they're doing it, may not be taking into account that there are certain processes that once they upset the apple cart, they may be fooling with things that they don't understand totally, and they could be setting processes in motion that will take a lot of, really good computer modeling to have a clue about how to get back to where we started. And the goal of cutting off the European community from energy by the United States is a crude tool to keep the EU.
A crude tool, yes, no doubt. And of course, it's backfiring because the ruble's at an all-time high. BRICS is thriving. We have a line of nations stretching around the world eager to join BRICS. Many countries, even including Saudi Arabia, have agreed to trade for oil in the currencies
really
of the
nation. They're really killing us today. I mean, that's what, fourth or fifth time?
Yeah.
What I was saying is that the point in cutting off the European community was to reduce Europe to a completely dependent vassal of the United States in every possible way, to the extent that it would compel the European states to get out of that union and kick Brussels out and join BRICS, perhaps, which is another trap, by the way. If you think of it, remind me to cover that at the end of the show about what I think about BRICS and what it really is. But I don't know if you remember, maybe it was the last show on the 18th of January, I mentioned that in the end, what would happen is that the Rothschilds, because they control the Central Bank of Russia, that they would ultimately screw Russia and try and screw them over. And the timing between now and the 22nd, which I'm sure you're aware of what that means, is not lost on me that the ruble being reduced to, 100 rubles to the dollar is a very blatant attack on somebody's part. And I don't believe that the United States has the capacity to interfere with Russia to that extent. In other words, I don't think Russia is a victim of U.S. meddling and Fed meddling. I think they're a victim of their own central bank right now, who is Rothschilds. So what I want to talk about here before we get too deep into the program is that this stuff going on with the devaluation of the ruble is probably a direct result of Rothschilds creating problems with Russia. Now, last night I was pondering this reason why Russia may be breaking the Rothschilds' balls a little bit. And if you think about it, it's very elemental. If the plan was to give Khazaria 2.0 to the Jews, the kikes out of Israel, which I think is always the goal, they couldn't dare let Israel move their nuclear inventory into Ukraine because Russia could never possibly completely trust Israel, even though they're both sets of kikes. They're definitely two different castes of kikes. So there's no way on this planet that Russia would make the concession to allow, I call them Jizrael, move nuclear weapons into Khazaria. So that was the biggest impediment to Russia saying, yeah, you can have this turf, we don't want it. And we'll let you exist here in lieu of the fact that you can never be a member of ZeoNATO. It's regardless of whether they join ZeoNATO or not, the Khazaria 2.0 can't ever happen because it would stage nuclear devices right on the doorstep of Russia that would not be controllable by Russia in any way, make, or form. And that's the fundamental reason why this is a little bit more of an existential threat between the Rothschilds and Jew Russia right now than the ZeoNATO, which is just another in the game of the Ibuki theater of creating a false enmity that doesn't really exist in the first place. The main fundamental reason of this conflict in Ukraine is to depopulate it of primarily the white Christian population that lives there by two ways, by killing them, 400,000 or more in combat, not to mention the white Christians that Putin Stein has sanctioned and thrown into the grinder and lost, which is probably on the upwards of 50,000 or more. What they've done is they've driven, 20 to 30 million people out of Ukraine right now to depopulate it. And what I predict may happen, if I'm correct about my analysis, is that if Khazaria 2.0 project is still on track, it can only really happen if Jew Russia tells the kikes, no, you can't park nukes in that turf because it's too close to our border. And then the kikes might make the concession and say, okay, we'll still keep Israel, but it's untenable because once the first Iranian nuclear device gets detonated within the next year or so, that's the end of Israel. They're done. Because they won't be able to hold a dagger up against the throat of the Palestinians, because if the Iranians do detonate a nuclear device, there's no doubt in my ex-military mind that they'll have at least a half a dozen, if not more, sitting on top of intermediate-range ballistic missiles to strike Israel with before they demonstrate they have the capability. They'd be stupid to openly show that they have this capability without having the ability to completely wipe Israel off the map in retaliation for any kind of effort by the Israelis to strike their nuclear facilities. So this is a much more complicated issue across the globe. It's a fight for global hegemon, no doubt, and the United Snakes is pushing very hard for it. But I have no doubt now, after analysis, that a lot of this false enmity between Zio-NATO and the Jew-Russians is strictly a facilitator of the depopulation of Ukraine and making it available for large numbers of kikes to move into, because they won't be able to stay in Palestine very much longer. So after having said all this, in the huge global picture of hegemon versus aspiring hegemon, we're looking at the fact that there's a very good possibility that the Rothschilds are moderately displeased with the way Jew Russia is handling this event in Ukraine, and they're trying to jerk the rug out from underneath them by causing financial hardship. Now, to be quite blunt about it, I don't think that Jew Russia really has any fundamental exposure to the U.S. dollar, really. I mean, other than a few Russians buying them at ATMs periodically and making small purchases. Jew Russia has weaned itself completely the zero dollar. So the United States can do whatever it wants with the exchange rate, because it doesn't really matter in Russia whether or not the dollar is worth 1,000 rubles or 10 million rubles. It doesn't really make a difference. What does make a difference is the outcome of this BRICS meeting on the 22nd as to whether they're going to peg a consortium of currencies against United Snakes' kike dollar, call it, for the world to use as the upcoming reserve currency. And if that occurs, then the United Snakes can kiss its ass goodbye. It's over. And this may have been the plan all along, is to replace one hegemon with another. But the false hope that BRICS holds is that it, too, ostensibly is controlled by the Rothschild kikes, because almost all of these countries, including Brazil, which is one of the fundamental players, has a Rothschild central bank. So let's make no mistake about who's really still in charge. It's still the Rothschilds. So BRICS is just a trap in a sense, because it'll suck all these countries that are trying to run away from the zeoturd dollar right into the hands of the kikes that control the world anyway. I don't think the BRICS is a solution. I think that BRICS could have been a solution if these countries, including Jew Russia, would have got rid of their kike central banks. But they didn't. They kept them. And for what constructive reason? What would they do it for? So going back to Ukraine, I think that there could be a possible outcome, which it'll be yet to be seen, but if the Israelis, out of smell of fart, as I call it, decide to give up nuclear weapons access and not make the move them into a place that's a buffer zone right up against Russia's throat, it's entirely possible that Putinstein will say, sure, you can put your kikes in there after we've effectively depopulated it, which is what's going on now. So I don't see that that this has been a loss for ZeoNATO, because I think they were a party to this Jubuki theater from day one and created the illusion of false enmity between themselves and Zeo-tiered Russia, you know, Jew-Russia. It's all been a gigantic game to grab this turf, which was once Jewish anyway. It was, you know, Carpathian Mountains area fundamentally was Khazaria, but the Ukraine, whether they use depleted uranium or cluster munitions, these problems are easily surmountable given enough time. So my initial assessment that it would be a no man's land that nobody would be able to occupy or to live in is basically not really a hardcore fact. I think that that given the resourcefulness of the kikes to steal technology from everybody else and utilize it, it's not out of the question that they would move into Ukraine out of Palestine, completely populated with kikes, and start to demine it and get rid of the cluster munitions and probably even do something to ameliorate the problems that they have with the depleted uranium that's been used. So the Khazaria 2.0 project could very well still be in full force, but it's in the shadows where we can't really see the mechanisms. But there's no doubt in my ex-military mind that the fundamental reason why Putinstein waited from 2014 to 2022 to put his foot down about the slaughter of the Russian people in Ukraine was he was perfectly fine with it. He didn't have a problem with the fact that anywhere between 13,000 Russians that were effectively Russians were slaughtered by the Azov Battalion and the United States crew was implementing Khazaria 2.0.
Hold that thought, Dennis. We'll be right back after this break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Dennis, this is quite sensational. You've already caused me to adjust my beliefs in several respects. For example, I heretofore thought the ruble was at an all-time high and BRICS was a great success. And, of course, it's true. There must be 40 other nations that want to join BRICS. But your point about keeping the Rothschild central banks is devastating. Could you elaborate on how they work their magic, you know, why that's the key, such that way back when Lord Rothschild declared he cared not who ran the government, but that if he ran the finances of the country, he had complete control?
Well, you know, in 1743, when the Bauer scum matriculated out of the loan sharking and whoremongering in Frankfurt, The five sons proceeded to take over banks, and the dominant one being the Bank of England, or BEA, was taken over by Nathan, by which, you know, at one point, I don't know if anybody paid any attention to history, but Benjamin Franklin went to go visit George III to talk about the money situation in new colonies, and Ben Franklin told George III, I don't need your funny money. We have our own scrip. And sitting in that very same room in the meeting was Nathan Rothschild, who was like, you know, got his lip button and not saying a word, but he's taking this in. And that's really what formed the revolution and put it in high gear, because Rothschilds are going to have none of that crap, that the potential new colony would be using its own currency in its own form. So they've been a set of snake tentacles, or octopi tentacles, everybody's neck for a long time. It's no secret now that a lot of organizations that put out stupid videos and documentaries about Rothschilds being only worth a couple billion, you know, which is absurd. You know, 10 years ago, they were worth $800 trillion. What they're worth today is anyone's guess. But there's no doubt in my mind that they control virtually every government on every continent, with probably the fundamental exception being two nations, which is Syria and also Iran, which they'd like to ultimately control. But every other country in the whole entire globe is controlled by Rothschilds via their central banks. If you pull up the list of Rothschild central banks, it's in the hundreds, if not thousands, because the larger banks are solely listed. The smaller ones are not. But they're all under control of the Rothschilds. So when Amschel Rothschild made the statement, you know, after he basically had control of everything. By the way, the Rothschilds made the bet during the Napoleonic War and seized the opportunity to propagate the false paradigm that Napoleon was winning, and everybody bet in that direction. And Rothschilds made a huge financial killing because they knew it wasn't true, but they propagated that false rumor and made a lot of money off of it. So the issue with the Rothschilds being very devious and very at the fore of all the financial institutions is really quite true. They'll deny it. As a matter of fact, there's some websites that decry you and me for our truth-telling as being traitors and liars, because I've openly talked about the Rothschilds on many, many shows going back probably to our very first ones, you know, almost, a decade ago. So the Rothschilds control it all. You know, there's no two ways around Russia being a central bank of Rothschilds. Jew China also, you know, the biggest competitor that we want to attack and monkey with the tentacles are wrapped around the Chinese government, because just like what's happening right now with the devaluation of the ruble, which is basically sending a signal to China to say, look, if you monkey with us enough, we can do the same thing to you. And China right now is in a heap of financial turmoil themselves. I don't know if it's necessarily being caused by Rothschilds, but there's very little conjecture has to be applied to this situation with the devaluation of the ruble. Because like I said, the zero dollar from the United States really has been out of play for quite some time. They haven't been using it. I mean, sure, they carry a small amount of reserve dollars because they periodically trade them with other countries. But by sanctions, they can't trade with dollars, if you understand what I'm saying. We basically cut our own nutsack off by turning off the Russian economy with the sanctions, which is a very stupid move. It pushed Russia further in a direction of saying, screw you, we don't need your funny money. But Russia's always been in the seat of vulnerability every minute of every day, because they have Elvira Nabiulina running their central bank, and she's a Tatar, you know, which is basically, you know, Khazar light, more or less. And I don't know where her allegiances lie. She's been hailed as a wizard, you know, manipulating the central bank to avoid the problems of the sanctions. But she could be the antithesis to Russian independence, if she's what I think she really is, which is a stranglehold around Russia's throat to make them comply with Rothschild's control. So Vladimir Putinstein is no more of a puppet or less of a puppet than Joseph Bidet Boy, the desiccated Jew corpse. They're both more or less on the same page relative to serving one master, and that's Rothschild's. And if you go back to Vladimir Putinstein's past, he was raised in a Jewish household his entire life. His father was from the Cheka, for goodness sakes. Putinstein became fluent in German and a couple other languages when he was assigned in Germany as an intelligence officer in almost the exact same building, or actually in the same building, but in a different office space, in Angela Kaczmarzak, known as Merkel, you know, who now is down, no longer the Chancellor of Germany, but she ran it for a long time. But we've had Rothschild's puppets in charge across the globe everywhere, and if anybody thinks that there's any doubt in their mind about who really runs things, they better think again and look at the central bank listing and see who controls them. So I think Russia is getting a very adroit wrap of the newspaper on their snoot with this message that Rothschild is sending, saying, look, we still are in control of your bank, so you might not want to deviate too far off the reservation. You know, you might want to toe the line a little bit tighter. So I think that the grand scheme of things in the long term is to clean out Khazaria 2.0, get all the Russians out of there, get the Ukrainians out of there, and flood the country with the kikes out of Palestine so they can take it over. But the only impediment to that is the nuclear weapons issue. In other words, if they try and bring nuclear weapons in, I don't see Russia, Jew Russia, making the concession that says, okay, we didn't want Zeo-NATO in there, but we'll be fine with your nuclear weapons, Jizrael. Go ahead and bring them on in. There's no way in hell that Russia would do that, because they don't trust the other kikes either. You know, this is a little lover spat between two different primarily powerful sets of kikes to dominate the future of the planet. And I'm not quite so sure that Russia is completely 100% a WF puppet state, as I once considered it to be. It's trying to foment and plot a course for its own future, regardless of what the descending and crashing United Snakes does. But the tentacles of the Rothschilds are still around their throats, and until the central bank in Jew Russia completely unplugs from the kite control, they're every bit as vulnerable as we are. And I think that if the average Russian person ever listens to the show, they better get a clue that your government is completely 97% controlled by kikes. And that's not by some kind of a mysterious coincidence, as I call it. It's by design, and it's been that way ever since 1917. And if you think that the collapse of the Soviet Union morphed your country into a democratic country, you better think again, because you're living underneath another kike thumb, just like you did when you fought the revolution and lost 80 million people, ostensibly white Christians, in your revolution, fighting a bunch of Jews. So that war is not quite over yet. It's just changed into a different shape. But the geopolitics being what it is, the kikes are still really pretty much in control of everything, and they spin reality in whatever direction they want the perception to go in. But I think that a lot of what we thought we understood about what this war in Ukraine really was, really is false, and it really was a mechanism and a tool to depopulate it so they can move in there. And I have no doubt in my mind right now that Khazaria 2 is still on and still a very real possibility, because in the end, when Ukraine finally capitulates and ends it and signs some kind of an agreement, it wouldn't surprise me if Putin starts allowing mass exodus out of jail right into Jukesov, just like when there was an effort many, many years ago where when I was in New York, a bunch of Jews in the United States financing the exodus out of Jew Russia. I think that a lot of Jews will go back there because they have no real place to go. Once Iran finally shows that it has not only good nuclear capability but has an arsenal, and I think that day is coming, that they're going to pop a nuke, but by that time when they finally do it and demonstrate they have nuclear capability, which appears they've been developing in the quiet, because they were smart and understand that no matter what this JPOA fake document that Onegro, or I call him Onigger, tend to trap Iran, they were smart enough to dance around that and to still enrich uranium. And when Trump basically gave the Iranians a green light to completely take off all the restrictions altogether, in the time that's happened since the JCPOA has been ditched, there's no doubt in my ex-military mind that Iran doesn't already possess nuclear devices capable of being launched on range ballistic missiles. They're on the brink of it. And once they get that, it's over for Jisrael. It's over for the Rothschilds' hegemony, because Jisrael is a Rothschild's pet project. As you're well aware, the main drag and smell of fart is Rothschild's Boulevard. You know, it's their project. It doesn't belong to anybody else but those kikes in Waddesdon that run the world. So to take the rose-colored glasses off it, we're in much more peril. And even though you'd think that this would lessen the probability of a nuclear exchange, it actually enhances it significantly, because they still want to depopulate the planet. And as I said in a series of emails the other night, it might be a collaborative effort between the United Snakes and Jew Russia to do exactly that, working in conjunction with each other to depopulate the globe. Much in the same way that Milo Mindbender in Catch-22 cut a contract with the Germans to bomb his own airfield in Sardinia. You know, I don't know if you watched it, but I mean, it's interesting how life imitates art, you know, in many ways. But it's not lost on me that all this false enmity between Jew Russia and these parties involved in Ukraine has been a cover to prevent people from getting a stench of the whiff of this being Khazaria 2.0 project being wrapped up and being carried out. So I'd like to hear your take on it. What do you think about this?
Well, I've actually been advocating a simpler model that many of your points undermine, to wit that, yes, it's all been driven by Zionist aspiration to turn Ukraine into the new Israel. Absolutely, we agree on that. Where the Rothschilds have been the primary sponsors, and because the American Congress is Israeli-occupied territory, we've been sending more resources to Ukraine than we're allocating to American citizens. I think that's very clear. But where it has seemed to me that Russia wanted Crimea and the Donbass, and that Russia would never relinquish Crimea and the Donbass, and therefore there's a conflict between Israel and Russia because Israel wants all of Ukraine, including Crimea and the Donbass. And I think, this is how I have seen it heretofore, Dennis, but my goodness, you're making all kinds of very subtle, sophisticated points. I'm fascinated about Iran, which is disavowed any interest in nuclear weapons. My understanding is Iran has a whole kinds of very powerful weaponry that's non-nuclear that would be more than sufficient to destroy Israel as an entity, even without the use of the nukes. But I'm fascinated, and I hope you're right. I've actually, in the past, encouraged Iran to develop nuclear weapons so they could introduce a period of mutually assured destruction and contain Israeli ambitions, which, of course, are unbounded in the Middle East. So this is really central to what's going on today geopolitically, Dennis, and I can't thank you enough for all of your observations. I've been viewing Putin as the only statesman astride the world stage, but you are, of course, introducing all kinds of caveats that make that position seem less plausible. I viewed him as a great nationalist, just as I view Trump as a great nationalist, but I know Trump, of course, has made too many concessions to Israel to be comfortable for any of us, but I've tended to view that as a case of keeping your friends close, but your enemies closer. Your thoughts about any of the above?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we share a lot of common beliefs, and to focus in on the situation with Crimea and the Ukraine, and let's even talk about Odessa a little bit and black access, because there was a lot of talk. There had been just a straw man argument about the United States or United Snakes building an expansive naval facility there in Odessa so that we would control the Black Sea. Well, there's no way on this planet that Jew Russia could pretend anymore that they were anything but a part B of a global hegemonic control by cliques that operate both the Jew Russians and the Jew USA, as I call it, JUSA. So, I mean, any number of concessions could be made to parse out Khazaria 2.0 in a fashion that allows the kikes to move in there. And I think that's one of the reasons why the United Snakes is now trying to pivot to Jew China a little bit, because they've, for the most part, they've achieved their goals of depopulating Ukraine. You know, and right now with this talk coming that's been put out on RT, which is just another false, information source as everybody else is, because they're no different than the West, only they're a little bit more polished at about how they present propaganda. They're very good at propaganda pumping. Their thing is that there'd be yet more conscripts pumped into the meat grinder in Ukraine, and that'll even heighten the chances that it'll foist a decision onto the Ukrainian puppets that are operated by the USA. But I think once they get to a certain depopulation number, and I don't know what that exactly is, but I think they're rapidly approaching it now, where there's virtually nobody really left in Ukraine that can foment any kind of resistance to an Israeli takeover of Ukraine. So the biggest problem that Putinstein knew he had is he couldn't move the into Ukraine right away, because a lot of the indigenous people that still live there would have a big problem with that. They weren't going to stand for that any more than we would if that happened. So he knew that he had to throw a lot of his own people, his own white and Russian blood, in fight to help depopulate. In a way, it's a win-win for him, because he doesn't want a whole lot of Christians in his country. He can't kill them all, because they predominate. They're basically the vast majority. But like I said, 97% of all the cabinet posts in Jew Russia are kikes. That's not by accident. It's by design. So Jew Russia really has to tread a real thin line and pretend that they care about white goyim lives when they really don't. If they had their way, every single white Christian in Russia would drop dead immediately so they could be replaced by kikes on the streets. But the problem with the kikes are is that they get so wrapped up in the shekel grub that they ostensibly lose the industrious nature that it takes for a country to succeed as a superpower, because all they do is shekel grub, and that has a whole lot of nothing to do with real work and production, as they've done in the United Snakes to hollow us out. So, you know, Putinstein is just setting the stage for a big problem for himself in the future if he doesn't abdicate and give it back to Medvedev at some point, which I think he will, probably in the next 5 years if we're all still breathing. Because there's going to be a lot of people in Jew Russia with the mounting death toll in Ukraine. They're going to have a major problem with throwing more meat into the grinder to depopulate that country for the Jews. Because some Russians are very smart, and they understand exactly with crystal clarity what the hell is going on. And they're not on board with it. They don't like Putinstein for that reason. All this propaganda that Putinstein is super popular and wonderful and all that crap is merely propaganda. It's not reality. There's a significant part of Jew Russian society that doesn't like him because they know he's a kike and they don't want him in power. I don't know what Medvedev's religious background is, because I've known Medvedev families in Minnesota that were kikes. They actually own a florist shop in Minneapolis. But let's get back to reality here and talk a global situation again, which is kikes ostensibly dethroning one hegemon and building up another one. And I'm not quite so sure that that will necessarily be Jew Russia. I think right now the only people that are going to be left standing when this is all done, and it's all contingent on Jew China getting rid of their central bank that is Jew Russian, or, Rothschild controlled, would be China, because it has the large population, it has the manufacturing capabilities. Effectively, right now, we're talking about most of Europe being completely shut off and no longer being a powerhouse because its energy went away. And the only way that Europe can rise again and be a viable contingent of humans that produce anything is if they restore the pipeline and turn back on the energy that they were getting from Russia. And if they don't do that, they're dead in the water forever. And I think that's what the WEF goal is. It's to shut down production to the point where vast numbers of humans starve because food production is totally destroyed, and they can work themselves closer to the 500 million that they'd like to be on the ball and still breathing when they depopulate the earth. They know that right now it's not sustainable for 9 billion people across the globe to keep building houses and consuming energy. I'm not saying everybody needs to take a bow and go kill themselves to make the planet survive, but at the current rate of explosive growth, with the exception being the population growth, that's going the other direction. But the building and the consuming of energy really be toned down to a more level if we're going to continue to live. And we have this ever-looming global situation with weather that's going to alter the landscape for human life, because transportation will be problematic, food growing will be problematic. The land that used to provide lots of in the Midwest of the United States right now is in deep kimchi. There's other parts that are equally dire straits. They can't produce food, and it's for a reason. It's being done on purpose. So this Agenda 2030, which used to be Agenda 21, as you might remember, it's in full swing. They haven't turned it off. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you're aware of the fact that this wrinkled-up old kike bastard, Georgie Schwartz, and his son, they pulled out all their efforts out of Europe. I call it Jew-rope, because they've already done their damage. They don't need to do any further damage. They've completely killed it as an industrial power. And they've started to destroy farming in the Netherlands and shut that off. I mean, in the aggregate, why spend more money on an effort where you've succeeded, like Schwartz has done, also known as Soros? But the kikes are winning this battle against humanity. I used to laugh a couple years ago thinking it was unraveling on them, but it's far from it. They're actually succeeding. And the outlook for humanity is very dire, because right around the corner is a pandemic where they give even more deculations. So,
Dennis, assuming the professor's right, and it was a nuke that destroyed Nord Stream, how much more difficult would it be to restore to service?
Well, I think if Putinstein put his ships out there to repair it, he could probably have it up and running in less than 4 months. That's my rough estimate. I don't think it would take him even that long, but I think it could be easily restored. And my issue that I have with the use of a nuke is that if they would have popped a nuke in proximity to those lines, they would have completely destroyed all of the structures under the sea and made them inoperable. And so I'm not saying they didn't use a nuclear device. I'm just saying that if they did it, they did a very poor job of it, because they should have made it so it was irreparable, so it couldn't be fixed. Of course, they could have laid another pipe, and it takes time. I don't know if you're aware of how long it took them to do it the first time, but it was a project that went for quite some while. So not saying that they have to do that. They don't have to begin again. But to repair the pipe, probably, I'd say 90 days to 4 months, so they could have it restored to full operability. But that won't ever happen, because we can't allow the European community to become a powerhouse that can compete against the United Snakes, which is collapsing. You know, this country is going to hold on to the global hegemon role as long as it can, if it has to fight and claw every inch of the way to do that. And the only way it can succeed is if everybody else is neutered and rendered impotent, which is what they've done, especially with Germany. And it's not just the only country in the European community that has any sanity is Viktor Orbán's country, which is Hungary, a man with a working brain. Go ahead.
Dennis, hold that thought. We'll pick up that when we return from this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Dennis, there's massive reporting. I think the whole world who's paying attention is convinced that the Maui fires were through the use of directed energy weapons. Biden, unsurprisingly, is seeking to capitalize on what happened there. He is, of course, merely a puppet. Biden uses Maui fires to push people to obey his new radical climate policies. Senior officials in the Biden regime are now using the Maui fires to their advantage, claiming the big bad climate change was responsible, and the only way to stop it from happening again is to obey their radical policies. Could they be any more despotic? Biden's clean energy czar, John Podesta. This guy is like the, you know, the chairman of Pizzagate. This is a pedophile extraordinaire. The same man who ran Hillary's 2016 presidential campaign spoke from the White House briefing room to spread his boss's fascist worldview on natural disasters, claiming summer had brought one climate disaster after another. Podesta pointed to climate change as cause of the fires while offering zero evidence. Then he tried to sell Biden's comically named Inflation Reduction Act as a solution. To stop these disasters from getting even worse, we have to cut the carbon pollution that's driving the climate crisis, and that's what the Inflation Reduction Act is all about. Podesta even admitted to the crowd the true purpose of the Inflation Reduction Act was not to lower costs for suffering Americans, not to reduce inflation, but rather to fight climate change. We're marking the one-year anniversary of a truly transformative piece of legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the largest investment in clean energy and climate action ever in the United States or the history of the world. Even Joe Biden recently admitted in private to a group of donors that the Inflation Reduction Act was misnamed. That was actually designed to subsidize and fund climate change spending. Podesta added, this law is putting us on a path to reach the Biden-Harris administration goal of reducing emission by 50 to 52% below 2005 levels by 2030. The Inflation Reduction Act is tackling the climate crisis with a government-enabled private sector-led approach. He added, Podesta, who served as Bill Clinton's former chief of staff and chair of Hillary's 2016 campaign, is a definition of an establishment Democrat, even essential when it comes to advancing radical left policies. Now he's back in the White House peddling this nonsense as the death toll in the highly suspicious Maui fire continues to rise. Meanwhile, related, Hawaiian officials accidentally let slip their land grab plans for the burned parts of Maui. The Biden regime's eagerness to use the Maui fires for its benefit comes after Biden caught flack for making it obvious that he couldn't care less about the Americans whose lives have been destroyed or taken by the fire, offering a paltry $700 per household when their property is in such a wonderful location that it's worth millions. As the flames engulf Maui, Joe is kicked back relaxing on a Delaware beach, couldn't be bothered enough to interrupt his vacation to even comment on the matter, let alone craft an effective response. But now he's offered Maui residents a whopping $700 per household. His regime seems to think it's okay to use this tragedy to get people to obey his climate demands. Would you expect anything less from the fascist, power-hungry Democrats? Here's a video that is, in my opinion, very telling of the fire. And, of course, those here on the air will only be seeing it if they check out the video version posted on my BitChute channel. Check this out, Dennis. So the audio doesn't seem to be picking up. Where did the fire come from with all this space? No trees to burn? This is just like in Paradise, California. Watch as we go into Lahaina, Maui. Most of the homes were torched. In other words, we were in an area where they weren't damaged. Now we're getting where they are damaged. The trees are just fine. The shrubs are okay. But guess what? The houses are destroyed except for a few. A few that remained unscathed. And get this, Dennis, where are the trees to burn the homes? How did this happen?
Oh, they, you know, I told a few people that when I was at White Sands years ago that I visited Hellstiff. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a high-energy laser special test facility that ultimately was the pioneer site for all high-energy laser technology.
Watch this.
Second
Dennis,
only to
Lawrence
Livermore.
There's the governor's house. There is the governor's house, completely untouched. How come everything was burned around this house, but it wasn't even singed? Do you think Obama lived there?
It's like there's like eight different wealthy people there. Their homes weren't touched either.
That's right.
You know, Oprah's and Kenny Loggins' home. You know, I could go on and on, but. There, mysteriously, fire is very discriminatory. I didn't know if you knew that. That if you tell fire not to come there, it will not come. You know, if you shake your finger at it, it capitulates.
There was a huge hotel that was utterly unscathed, too. Why was it not damaged? Because it was not on the list. Dennis, I mean, look at this. Is there any other explanation? This fire even got to the boats. How can a wildfire get to boats that are offshore, Dennis? I mean, stunning.
Well, I worked on the X-37 space plane. I certified the mission computer for it when I was at a test lab in New Brighton, Minnesota. That was one of the last things I did before I left there. I was supposed to go to work at General Dynamics, who was really in charge of that program as a program manager, but then I got shot out of the saddle because there was a disinformation campaign to keep me from becoming the manager of the department. We won't get into that on the air because it's sensitive information, but ultimately I ended up tendering a resignation where I was at, only to find out that the place I was supposed to go to was no longer available because they rescinded the offer. But going back to the X-37, it was you know, flying a lot of missions in the last couple of years, which was to, in my opinion, was to loft into space space-borne ASAT laser weapons for Department of Defense, which, as you might imagine, are very capable of destroying ground targets just as well as they are space platforms. So it's not out of the question that we used high-energy laser systems that are in orbit in multiple locations, probably marshaled a lot of them because they couldn't do it with just one, move them, you know, to the location over Hawaii so they could selectively take out different places that they wanted to burn, which, by the way, none of the natural fire theory makes any sense. And furthermore, I don't know if you're aware that that I guess it's a sheriff is a crisis actor from the role in the Las Vegas racial slaughter, the fakery there at that fake shooting. The same dude. Think about that. Do you think that's a coincidence again? You know, I mean, there's so much of this that says PSYOP all over it that it has more than one fundamental purpose other than just getting the people out of those places. It's going to be exploited. By the way, the books are already on the shelf about climate change already being sold. Can you imagine how many months ago they planned this to have the books ready to blame climate change for this fire? You know, I mean, come on. Only a moron could believe that you could create and publish a book in such a short period of time. It's not possible. You know, but here again, I think it's going to be used as one more canard to get rid of a lot of energy resources in the United States and get the country closer to a completely brought to a standstill toilet. You know, they can't even move freight because there won't be any fuel for the trucks. I think California now has really enacted that the ban on diesel trucks to the point where in the near future it'll be complete. They won't be able to run diesel trucks into California. Well, how are they going to get the stuff to the stores then? Is the train going to drive right to the store? Last time I checked, they didn't have those railroad tracks built. You know, but I think that the plan here is to accelerate the collapse. By the way, the 10-year yield on bonds was, 4.28 the other day. And if you extrapolate out what that's going to cost the United Snakes to pay in interest on the debt, it makes it untenable for us to exist as a nation beyond 2025, which coincidentally happens to be when the WEF wants everybody to switch over to a global digital currency across the board. All nations must use one by 2025. These are not coincidences any longer. This is a plan that's been carefully crafted and being carried out with a great deal of success because the sheeple themselves are completely in denial about who's doing it. They don't really want to see it. They don't, you know, if you put somebody's nose in it and say, look, this is what's going on, they'll look anywhere but where your hand is forcing them to look because they cannot handle the reality that they're being completely destroyed and their livelihoods are being taken away by a tyrannical government that doesn't give a squat about them at all. And I don't understand why the population of the United States isn't right borderline on revolution right now, because if you want to take this out to the year 2026, if we're still breathing, there's already been some documentation from the federal government that get this, listen to this. They think that the population, the aggregate population in the United States will be 90 million people simply because of mass suicides alone. This is what they're propagating. If that makes any sense to you, or you think that's a plausible reality, then you have to really start to think about what they're just to depopulate the planet. I mean, there's no way we can get to 90 million without the mass die-off of huge numbers. That's more than a third of the population of this country dead by 2025. And because of suicide.
And how is that compatible with bringing all these millions of migrants in, Dennis? How does this work together? And you're citing Deagle numbers that actually have been revised down to 65 million, Dennis.
Oh, but yeah, I think that the reasons why they want the illegal aliens here is that they know that for the most part it'll just cause mass lawlessness, which will be a slaughter festival. I've told about what happened in, I call it Pornland, for quite a while. I still do, because they just have a problem with too many certain types of people. And I'm not saying it's not white people as well, but ostensibly it's black people and Hispanics that are doing all the mayhem, with the white people thrown in because they're now drug addicts on purpose. They've been intentionally entrapped in a suicide pact with fentanyl just to get rid of them. But I think that the flooding of the country with migrants only exacerbates things for survivability for humans, because once the resources start to go away, guess who's going to be looting the stores? It's not going to be mostly white people that are 65 and above. It's going to be, people in the probably the 18 to 30 age group that are foreigners from south of the border. And, of course, the black people that are here that feel like they're entitled to their reparations, as we call them, which is a canard to create more social unrest. But I was not aware of the number being taken down to 65 million. That's breathtaking. Maybe next week they'll run it down to 30 million. Who knows? Based on that slope that those numbers are on, if you take that line down to the next data point, it's probably somewhere around 30 million.
Well, it's just staggering, Dennis. And, this administration, and of course the evidence of the theft of the election is simply overwhelming. It turns out, Dennis, you may or may not be aware, but Obama used the creation of something called FirstNet before he left office to include our election system down to the precinct level under the guise of protecting it from Russian interference. So they can manipulate the vote down to the precinct level. They can put in any damn person in any position. I think this is where all those Soros DAs came from. I don't think the people voted them in. I think they were installed by manipulating the outcome.
Well, of course. And it wasn't just on the national stage, with the president, their puppet den, as I call it, election. It was being done even on the lowest levels. Board members in communities were elected this way, or selected is a better term. Not election has nothing whatsoever to do with it. But they're pulling out all the stops now to do whatever they want. And the amazing thing about the population of Jumerica, as I call it, is that people are with their eyes wide open, but they see nothing. They might as well have their eyeballs gouged out, because they can't see. With all of this going on right in their face, how can they not make the deduction that something is seriously, seriously wrong with this country? But there's a lot of naysayers on the web that denigrate and criticize realists that are talking about where this country is going and calling them, shills and look at the stock market, look at the stock market. Well, if there ever was a case of fakery, I call it the schlocko market. The schlocko market is completely, totally artificial. It's crap. The Federal Reserve has a trading desk, and the plunge protection team controls that. I mean, if there ever was a gauge cluster on your instrument panel of your car that doesn't work, it's the schlocko market. You just dial up whatever number you want on a given day, and you achieve that. But they're in a place, they're in a realm now with the interest rates on the bonds, to where what's going to happen is everybody's going to flee the debt markets and try to jump into bonds at a time when that phone booth is already full and there's no room for it. What that will do is it'll drive the money down. The liquidity will completely evaporate totally, and it's almost there now. What this does is it reinforces my belief that the Fed hasn't been trying to avoid a financial crash. They've been engineering it. They've been creating it, and it's on purpose. And the average weenie out there doesn't understand that when this country financially collapses, it's not going to be with a whimper. It's going to be with a bang. It's going to be a nasty, nasty transition to nothing. And we're rapidly going there. In other words, that that train at the other end of the tunnel is 20 feet from our nose right now coming at us. So there's a whole lot of reality that the American people either better wake up to and start to smell the merda, as I call it, the poop, and get a clue, or they're going to be extinct before they even understand how they died. I mean, things are rapidly spinning out of control all across the earth, not necessarily just in the United Snakes. But the next step, the next phase of control is to deny you and me and everybody on this planet that disagrees with them the ability to do commerce, because they've been monkeying with my banking and with my insurance policies in the last 2 or 3 months to the point where extremely weird things are being done to Nigel Farage me, to the point where I have no financial voice. That's happening to me, and I'm sure it's not happening to solely just myself. It's happening to a lot of Americans that have a voice that are saying, no, 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 this is very wrong. So in the near term, what's going to happen is a lot of guys like me won't have bank accounts, won't have insurance policies. If I don't have an insurance policy on my home, I won't be able to remain in it. That's just that simple. And it's not beyond my comprehension to see a day when I won't be able to maintain insurance because some government entity turned it off, because that's what they're doing. So the real problem now is that they're pulling out all the stops, and they have no fear of taking guys like me and other truth tellers and shutting us off completely. And by the way, I think Nigel Farage was basically a psyop. I don't think his was reality. I think his was done to amplify the fear-mongering of exactly what's happening to me and others in this country. So it's going to get very bad for people that have a differing opinion, to the point where if it doesn't totally, utterly shut off and stifle all dissent all together, it's going to be a chilling wave of shock through the whole entire truth pop that still may exist, because they'll come to understand that at any given moment in time, you can become a non-person. Just like the R.J. Reynolds whistleblower that blew the whistle about the effects of the drug that they purposely installed in cigarettes called nicotine. You know, it doesn't naturally occur. It's put in there to make you addicted to it. And once he published that, suddenly his ATM cards wouldn't work. His banking didn't work. When he went to the bank, he didn't exist anymore. They told him they had no records that he existed. If you do the research and go back to the 1980s, you'll see what happened to the RGR whistleblower that blew the whistle about what tobacco really was and how it was manufactured. So they have the ability to selectively target all of us that are truthers and shut us off. And that's the next step. And the other issue that's going to happen is that overwhelmingly, if you publish anything on any venue on the internet, they can track everything that we publish. And they'll use that not necessarily as what we call an ESG score, which is probably in all fact already been in place for quite some time already. In other words, ESG scores are not in the future. They exist now as we sit. And they're being used to make it so that you're either going to get a loan or you're not. You're going to get a home or you're not. You're going to get a job or you're not. And at some point in time, it'll be pretty essential to either change your identity altogether and move completely out of here to another country. But other countries are doing exactly the same thing. They're all under the WEF thumb. So, you know, with all the slaughter going on with the jabs that are deadly and killing a lot of people, what they're doing right now is they're effectively trying to unplug many of us that speak our opinions and voice our opinions verbally and loudly about what they're doing. They want to shut it all off. And I might dare to say that they might be very successful at it, because once they make it so you can't have bank accounts and you can't have insurance, probably won't be able to have a driver's license, how much more can you do? I mean, a lot of us depend on our vehicles. A lot of us depend on our ability to stay in a home. Once they take that away from you, what are you? You're not even a human being anymore. You're not even a homeless person. You're a non-existent entity. And that's what they want to turn everybody into, or an NPC, as they call them. You know. So this country is rapidly transitioning into a place that, breathtakingly, astonishingly, people are allowing it to go there. And they're not fomenting any resistance in the form of trying to get their politicians to pay attention. I wrote to my politician about my problem with being Nigel Farage, and I don't know if I sent you the audio. I'd have you play it on the show right now if I had whipped it to you before. Basically, the staffer is saying, you're on your own, buddy. We can't do anything to you. You know, it's problematic. The only reason I actually got the information to her office was to make sure that they had a record of it, that I complained. Because later, you know, not that it matters much, if I said that I did this and I really hadn't, they could say, we never got any correspondence with him, but I have the correspondence. I have the audio from the voicemail from the staffer that said, sorry, I sympathize with you, but I can't do anything to reverse it. That's the country that we live in today. We make the Soviet Union look like something that was a walk in the park by comparison. We have transcended that by a factor of 1,000 already today as we sit in our chairs. So we're rapidly getting to a place where everybody across the globe is going to be ostracized and cut out of every participation of any possible venue strictly by what they say and how they oppose this tyrannical government. That's where we're going. And it's very alarming to me that a year ago, if somebody were to propose this to me, I would have said, well, it's at least 2 or 3 years out. But it's happening now as I sit in a chair. So we're getting to that point where truthers and people that speak out against this crap are rapidly going to be falling off the radar scope because they won't be able to open their mouth. And you won't have an opinion. You know, I've sent 2 opinion pieces to 2 different editorial boards for 2 large newspapers and not a word back. And the reason why is I used my real name. Because they Google me and they know who I am and they go, hell, we're not putting this guy's crap on any newspaper. So, you know, in 2006 when I wrote a very good and cogent piece, which I have, in print that I saved, they published it. But there was so much hate mail because I opposed the corruption and tyranny that the Republicans were foisting on us.
We're going to take your calls right after this break. Stand by. Dennis Camino and I will be here.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I want to bring in Mitchell right away because he was making observations about Soros' efforts in Europe and shifting attention to Asia and Africa. But everyone remember the number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452 to speak to Dennis and me. I think the discovery of this FirstNet business, and there's an article about it on my blog, Dennis, at jameshfetzer.org, means that when Joe Biden said, and we thought it was inadvertent at the time, but I no longer believe that, that the Democrats had created the largest vote theft operation in American history, that he was speaking the truth and simply telling us, you know, out of arrogance, because it was a damn thing we could do about it, exactly what they're doing, where the cabal here, the Rothschilds, seem to feel that if they tell you what they're going to do, then it's your responsibility if you don't do anything about it. And they've absolved themselves morally, which is absurd, but appears to be their policy.
Yeah, that's kind of how they roll. I mean, you know, the way the scum and villainy work. By the way, I just sent you the audio clip. I want you to play it at some point, not exactly at this moment, but I want you to play it before we get too deep into the show, so people can hear what your congressperson will say when you complain about the government turning you off in the world, shutting you down.
Dennis, we've got a good connection with you. You can play it right there. We'll hear it just fine.
No, go ahead. I just sent it to you. I sent it to you.
Oh, you don't have to send it to me. Go ahead and play it. Go ahead and play it.
No, I mean, but the thing is that I don't know if when I play it in my player, if it's going to go out on the air. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. Go ahead and try to play it, and I'll tell you.
Well, let me see.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
I think
I'm going to put it on. See if. Okay, we'll see. Here we go. Can you hear it?
No.
Okay. Well, it's playing, but you're not hearing it.
Right.
So the only way it can be played is if you play it. You know,
unless you can, if you could give it to Mitchell.
I sent it directly to you, but I don't know. Let me see if I have. I thought I might have seen his email. But anyway, if or you can send it to him. I sent it to you. You know, it's an attachment.
I'm looking.
It's very small.
I'm looking.
It's not very big.
I'm not seeing it. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Well, I see the image. Yeah. I see an image. But you're telling me you actually Oh, here it is. Here it is.
It's an MP3. I sent a picture to put up, but it's too late.
Here it is, Stannis.
Got your last email. It sounds like the insurance commissioner is going to look into your situation, so that's good. I understand how you feel here in comparison to Nigel Farage. And doesn't look like there's anything more we can do. I'm going to go ahead and close your ticket at this time, but feel free to reach back out again if there's anything you think we can help with. Take care. Have a great day. Bye.
I'm going to play it again, Dennis.
Oh, Dennis, this is Andrew, Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers' office. I got your last email. It sounds like the insurance commissioner is going to look into your situation, so that's good. I understand how you feel here in comparison to Nigel Farage. And doesn't look like there's anything more we can do. I'm going to go ahead and close your ticket at this time, but feel free to reach back out again if there's anything you think we can help with. Take care. Have a great day. Bye.
Doesn't sound like there's anything they can help with, Dennis. Go ahead.
Yeah, but did you pick up the stress in his voice? He sounded like he was really kind of relieved that he didn't get me in person, and because he would have had to talk about it more. So
yeah.
So anyway, the gist of that was you're on your own, sucker. You know, because we're not going to intervene about government intervention against you. You know.
Mitchell, make your points about the open society. Mitchell, please.
Well, I guess what you want to say is mission accomplished, and pack up your bags and move to more fertile territory that you can culturally corrupt. And, you know, you got to remember, too, this is... though George Soros has okayed this, it was his son, Alex, who is driving these changes and this revamping of the Open Society Foundation and their mission.
And, of course, it was Alex who announced that Kamala Harris would be the running mate of Joe Biden for the Democrat ticket. It had nothing to do with the party, caucuses, primaries at all. It was Alex Soros.
Well, no wonder he had that big smile on his face, Jim. We have two callers.
If Kamala qualified, applied for the position.
Well, we know how she worked her way up the ladder, and that was from under the desk. So,
yes.
Don't expect things to change anytime soon.
Dennis, pick it up.
Yeah, we're they're gonna play switcho changeo before the election. You know,
right?
They've shown signs that they're gonna throw Bidet Boy, as I call him, the desiccated kite corpse. They're gonna throw him under the bus,
right?
Because they can't even fake a win with him because virtually nobody likes him. Even the Dinocrats don't want him, so they're gonna have to get rid of him. So they'll dump him. You know, who's gonna be in the chair after that? It's gonna be. Gay Boy Nude Scum is going to be the presumptive puppet dent, and the vice aptly named Vice, VICE puppet dent is going to be Big Mike. You know,
that's what I LeVon think too, Robinson. Dennis. I think so too. I think exactly. Gavin Newsom and Michelle, absolutely right.
So get ready to listen to Lola at the inaugural ball. When they do it, it sounds racist, but it's not. It's disrespectful because the scumwads deserve all the disrespect we can heap on them, not because of their skin color, but because of the fact that they're their country. But they're filled,
Dennis,
and they have no business being here.
Is the death of the chef? Is the death of the chef going to complicate Michelle's candidacy, because there are going to be a lot of questions. I think she gave the anonymous phone call. I think Barack was there paddleboarding. They've lost the blood sample. He had cuts on his hand. He had a black eye after. I think this was a gay encounter gone wrong, and he inadvertently killed the chef, and they had to figure out a way to dispose of the body and make it look like an accident. He's supposed to have drowned in 8 feet, but it turns out it was only 3 feet deep at that location, so he could have saved himself by standing up if any of this were on the up and up.
Well, if there weren't already a huge a huge number of already dead black people all over the country. I'd say, let me see the body, you know. But I wouldn't even know what this guy looked like, if you know what he was supposed to look like, to make a determination if he was really the person or not. You know, like I said before, the fact that they're so blatantly doing stuff, and I'm gonna raise up Paul's assertion one more time and give it some credibility, that they're at this place in time where they could give a flying rat's dick less what we think, and they want to rub our noses in it. So it's not beyond the scope for them to throw something up, you know, because I think a lot of people in this country, after the 4 years of O'Nigger, as I call them, was in the whorehouse and butt-fucking the country in its ass, a lot of people knew he was a sword swallower back to his Chicago days, you know, between him, sure, and Rahm, you know, doing the bathhouse stuff, you know. And by the way, I've walked by that bathhouse after going there, but you know, it was part of Chicago that I used to walk around with my girlfriend, you know, when I would fly into Midland with my Piper Arrow back then. So not that they were there doing it, but these guys are filth, and they're capable of doing all kinds of heinous acts, and the American public will just shine it on, because you're racist if you say anything about this crap. You know, if you decry the fact that,
hey, I
call him O'Negro. Oh, go ahead.
No. I just wondering if Jim didn't want. No. If Jim didn't want to take calls, I'm going to take calls. I'll go ahead and hang up.
Oh, no. I wanted to take calls. Brian, I didn't see you were there. Yeah, go ahead. I just hadn't slid it down far enough. Go ahead. Yeah, give us your comments.
Yeah, when he was getting at there, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to know if I could just hang up there. I'm sorry.
No, it's my mistake. I hadn't slid my Skype chat down far enough to see you guys were standing by. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, and am I correct in the Bundys? Wasn't their initial confrontation with the feds, with the Bureau of Land Management, over them stopping fires? They're actually for setting back fires to control a wildfire on their property. Is he burning people out as a... It's a long time tactic to get people off the land that you want to take over. And so when you look at this town in Maui, man, that looks like pictures from Dresden. You know?
Yeah. It's that thorough, like a firebombing. Yes.
Yeah, like a firestorm, actually. In Dresden, the pavement actually caught on fire, the asphalt, and people were just incinerated in the street. And, you know, not moving on the land. So that's one thing. And on Soros, you know, and you guys got a son now, Alexander, you know, a little gay boy. He's got his black boyfriend there. That's really, how many times has he visited the White House now? Like dozens of times or more? Like a frequent visitor of Joe, you know.
That's good. Bruce, stick around while we bring
here.
Bruce, stick around while we bring in Brian, too. Brian, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, Dennis is just so spot on. I read years ago on Henry Macau, I call him Macau so people can pronounce it easier, how the Bolshevik Red Star represented the five sons of Mayor Ansel Rothschild, because Rothschild's Red Shield. So the Bolsheviks were, that's what it was. It was Rothschild's little, you know, play colony. And the whole time that the Soviet Union was in existence, that bank that they had was a Rothschild bank. So, and his take on Ukraine was so spot on because of that 1994 speech given by Menachem Mendel Schneerson that you can find online, where he talked about how they were trying to destroy all the Ukrainian Aryans, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, the Analek, as they call it, and the Russians, so that they could populate Ukraine with Jews. So yeah, he's just spot on with all that stuff. So anyway, that was the comments I had to make. Oh, and it was funny. When I was reading that Rothschild conducts the Red Sympathy, to me, that's the most important document of the 20th century because it was smuggled out of Stalin's Soviet Union. This Rakowski, who was the ambassador to France that was being interrogated by the NKVD, in the interrogation, they talk about the fact that after the Bolsheviks took control of Russia, they killed all the Freemasons, except the ones that were Jewish, including their children, their families, their kids. All the Freemasons were murdered, except if you were Jewish, you were spared. And the Freemasons would cry and say, "Why are you doing this to us? We helped you." And they just laughed and just went on with the executions. So anyway,
Bruce and
that's
Brian,
what we're dealing with.
I want you to stay where you are while we take another caller from the area code 586. 586 caller, just give us your first name and your town or state.
Hey, guys. This is Chris calling from Michigan.
Very good.
I had a question for you guys about alt media.
Go ahead.
It seems like there's been a lot of talk lately, especially by your buddies over at F250 Report, which I do listen to. I'd like to pose a question to you and Dennis. What do you think about guys like, you know, Dave DeHary at one time had, you know, he's got Giuseppe over there now, and he's got, you know, Dennis Vecchio, and, you know, he had Fact Hunter. And, you know, some of these other guys that, you know, obviously Dave Scorpio that have dropped off. The dissension in the alt media, you know, is that, you know, there's people out there, you know, either shilling for gold or this or that, or giving disinformation on this or that. What do you think about a movement of kind of bringing, you know, like you recently going over to RBN and doing the show? Don't you think that the movement will be stronger in alt media if these stations of Revolution Radio, RBN, Speak Free Radio were more in, you know, alignment with each other to bring, you know, the message out about what's going on, you know, politically, financially, et cetera? What do you guys think about that?
Dennis?
You know what? A lot of what he said in the beginning, in the front end, I couldn't really hear it. It was muted.
Yeah, yeah.
To the point where it was very low.
Right. I agree. Actually, Chris, there's going to be some further joining because I'm beginning on RBN on Monday of 3 to 5 Central, 4 to 6 Eastern, in the slot formerly occupied by Mike Rivero. And it's going to be simulcast over Speak Free Radio. So maybe we can have a greater communication here among parties. I appreciate what you're saying. There have been some odd cases of dissension within the ranks where I myself have been subject to attacks that I felt were highly inappropriate, even by David Scorpio, whom I have in the past greatly admired. So, Dennis, Chris is really just asking for maybe it would be good if there were a more unified front, as it were, among those who dissent from the mainstream.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, if that's what he was asserting, I think it was, I mean, the time really was 10 years ago where we should have really gotten our act together and congealed as a united front, but we haven't done that. There's been so much backbiting and backstabbing in the community that the Kikes have done a very good job of showing a huge distrust factor amongst all of us. So what it's done is it's disunified the front against the Jewish takeover of the planet. And you know, I have to commend these Kikes for the fact that they've been so skillful at the disunification and fragmentation of society. Because I don't know if you watched that one that clip of Obit from The Outer Limits where this guy named Corey played the character who was called Lomax, who was an alien that installed these, they put these machines in all over the planet to sow discord and paranoia and fear. And the last scene of that one, and you want to find it on JuLube, I highly recommend you watch it. But that was probably the most pivotal thing that got his career shot down, is the Kikes hated it. They were so pissed off that he did such an effective presentation in that very last scene of that episode, where it was riveting. I mean, it was such a good thing the portrayal of an alien saying, "When we come here, you know, you'll fall without us even firing a shot. You know, you'll be so demoralized." And that's how the Kikes work. They completely destroy society to the point where people, you know, individuals can't talk to each other, can't have a discussion at the dinner table, because they might actually reach a common conclusion. And the Kikes can't have that shit. They can't have it. They've been very effective at driving wedges every place in our society, just like in the short clip of Obit on The Outer Limits, where he decried, "When we come here, we'll take it all, and we won't even have to fire a shot. You'll have completely collapsed." And that's what's going on in society across the whole entire world. The Kikes have so sown so much derision and hatred and bitterness and pitted us against each other. They don't have to lift a finger to destroy us. We're doing it ourselves. So I concur with everything he said there. If that's what he was asserting, is that we need [S2] Yep. [S1] to form a unified front and quitting amongst each other.
I also agree. 10 years ago would not have been too soon. Not have been too soon, Dennis. Bruce, do you want to add a final thought?
Well, yeah. Real quick there. Alex Jones had this former NBA player on yesterday. He's, I guess you'd call him a hardcore conservative black guy. And maybe worth listening to. I can't recall his name, but he just said exactly what Dennis just said about the divide and conquer and how they keep us fighting with each other. So we, you know, there can't be no unified opposition to their program. But as far as his problems with a congressman, am I correct there? He contacted a congressman or a congresswoman or something that's a lawmaker. Yeah. You know, I think they made an example out of James Traficant. And tell me if I need to go through his story. I'm sure both of y'all know about it. You know, and after they set him up, he went to prison on trumped up charges. He got out. He appeared on Fox News, and he started running down the Zionist control of United States politics. And next thing you know, he's dead. You know,
they drove his own. They drove his tractor over him. The Mossad came and killed him in Ohio. They killed him on his farm. Yeah. Did you know that?
I thought it slipped over on him, but that wouldn't surprise me either. That'd be the way they operate, you know. And so I haven't heard one congressperson after this Hawaii, this Maui fire, you know, can stand up. You got this Victoria Nuland, who came straight out of Brown University and went straight into the Reagan administration and started practicing neocon politics, even though Reagan was kind of a neutral at the time, that he had people under him that were as the start of the neocon warmongers, you know. And then she hooks up with Robert Kagan, co-founder of the Project for the New American Century. These two people have been fomenting wars and setting up crises. And they're responsible for the loss of trillions of dollars, trillions, and millions of lives. And they're not held to account, and we're going to keep pouring money down this Ukraine shithole. When we get people that are burned out, they're roasted alive in Maui, we're going to give them $700? It's obscene.
It is. It is and, obscene. It is obscene. Bruce, those are excellent comments. Brian, you want to squeeze in a word edgewise?
I'll just tell you, I do all my meditation stuff, and they showed me that Victoria Nuland is one of the antichrists on the planet with Klaus Schwab. They're both antichrists, and I know you guys don't believe that, but boy, it certainly fits, doesn't it?
Chris, you wanna say another word or two, Chris?
Yeah, just real quickly on the alt media.
you know, I think a lot of people that are coming in and waking up to the, you know, being jaywalk and, you know, whatever issue that you have going on, you know, with the times and with the government. I think a lot of this, you know, not to use the government for disinformation is a problem because people are just looking in and they're starting to learn things. Like, you know, I started out Scott McKay, okay? You know, yeah, he tells a lot of stuff, but, you know, I'm not a Q-tard. I never was a Q-tard. And, you know, I can't listen to the guy because... That,
Dennis, the last couple of minutes are yours, my friend. Sensational today, Dennis.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. The guys that called in, all of you are wonderful, and I appreciate hearing your voices every single time. So, actually, the best part of the show is when you guys call in and contribute because it actually reinforces. It's not that we're an echo chamber because we're not. But it makes doing the shows worthwhile. You know, just the small amount of airtime that you get at the end, maybe we'll open it up to where maybe a little bit longer, you know, half the show is. But thank you ever so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on board today.
Dennis, you are just wonderful, just absolutely wonderful. And while I'm going to begin this gig at RBN in the afternoons, I will still be here on Revolution Radio Monday, Wednesday, Friday with fabulous guests like Dennis Camino, who are truth tellers extraordinaire, and will welcome your phone calls as we have today. I thought, Bruce, Brian, and Chris, you were indeed excellent, just as Dennis observed. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So I just want to encourage everyone, this being a Friday, to spend as much time as you can with your friends, your family, the people you love and care about. Who knows when they might launch a nuclear event that could lead to an all-out retaliation by Russia. They aren't messing around. So, you know, take advantage of these opportunities before it's too late. We literally do not know how much time we have left. I just want to say Revolution Radio is doing a terrific job keeping a lot of voices on the air, including Dennis Camino here with me today, and I cannot thank him enough for joining. Dennis, you did a terrific job.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their